In these treacherous times, I'm reminded of the words of the great George Washington, what he told his troops when Benedict Arnold switched over to the British. These hoes ain't loyal. I'm Evan Hall, and this is The Woke Report.
Shut up and sit down.
In a world where fake news has been attacked and debunked, two men bravely walk into the deep end.
Oh, it's cold.
Something touched my foot.
Oh, stop splashing me. Oh.
This is The Woke Report. Everything on this program is purely satire. Adult language may be used. Viewer discretion is advised. All right, welcome into the Woke Report. I am your host, Ethan Chadwick, and with me is Evan Hall. For our opening story, we have some election stats from Evan Hall.
Nothing turns me on quite like the analytics, Ethan. So we've got some interesting numbers to look at the 2016 presidential election. Millions voted, and if you take the amount of registered voters in the United States and laid them end to end, a lot of them would drown in the ocean. But that's not all of the important things that the analytics are telling me. It takes 270 electoral college votes to win the White House. Statisticians and scientists have determined that that number is divisible by 3. So if you get 90 electoral votes, you're a third of the way to the White House. And finally, another interesting fact to consider, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by several million, which if you put the entire amount of people that she won by over Donald Trump on into a geographic space, that would be at least 3 city blocks. And that is by the numbers.
All right, our next story tonight comes to you from Florida. As a Florida man was found teaching a gator to drive. You know, he didn't have much explanation for why he was trying to do it other than bitches love gators.
Bitches do indeed love gators.
Yes, indeed. And right now we were going to go to an exclusive live interview that we will have with Santa. And so we are go to our foreign correspondent, Desmond Wannajob.
Oh, thank you. I'm here at the North Pole. Here about to interview Santa Claus. Mr. Claus, how are you feeling today?
Ho, ho, ho! Well, the man in the big red suit's feeling a little blue this time of year.
Me too. Why is that?
Well, I think the spirit of Christmas is being destroyed.
How so?
Well, you see, son, the large corporations are using consumerism to trap the bourgeoisie into putting the proletariat down through expensive Christmas gifts and lights and the whole shebang.
So, I guess, are you communist then?
Absolutely! The North Pole is just one big commune. The elves and I share the means of production and profits.
Is that why you wear red?
Absolutely! It's in solidarity with the inevitable coming bloody revolution against the man.
So you supported the Soviet Union?
Absolutely!
And I'm told that you have something you'd like to share with our viewers.
Oh, absolutely that too. I've got a little poem or a song, if you rather, that I'd love to share to maybe hopefully increase the real spirit of Christmas. And here it is. Jingle bells, capitalism smells, proletariat have to beg. The capitalist wheel lost a wheel and the Joker got away.
Okay, that's all the time we have for that. We apologize, folks, who are not in agreement with communism. Little known fact, communism is actually spelled with a C. And also, it involves a commune. So it's kind of some interesting stuff there from Santa Claus.
Yeah, but I gotta say, like many Americans, I too have felt the weight of the system during this holiday season.
Well, I think we all have. All right, next up, we're gonna go over to our weather correspondent, Seymour Seelas. And Seymour, hey there, guys. Not exactly prepared, but
we're just going to go through and do a world forecast, if you will. We're going to have highs in this next week. Every day, the high is going to be about 130 and low about negative 40. And obviously, that's going to vary region to region. But, you know, being the professional weatherman that I am, I can tell you there is 100% chance of weather every day. So, lots to consider there. There's a 50% chance of precipitation across the board because some places it's going to rain and some places it's not. Also, there's a strong chance of wind to some degree everywhere you go. It's not guaranteed, but it's going to be there at one point or the other. And I'm just getting word that there is a 100% chance of meeting an American in America. And also, this just coming in, if you go to Antarctica, there is a strong chance you will see a penguin. But yeah, that's all I got. We're going to go back to you, Evan.
Well, that is very top-of-the-line weather reporting from our very own. Next up, we have some nature story, or a nature story we'd like to share with you about an important squirrel infestation. We go to our nature correspondent, Mickey Fox.
Hi, it's me, Mickey Fox, reporting live from set. Damn it, Greg! Put the microphone by the damn tree! For goodness sake, we talked about this! Like I was saying, this is me, Mickey Fox, reporting live from Central Park, where NYPD statistics... Damn it! I can't say statisticians, or whatever that damn thing is. Anywho, the NYPD have reported an increased number in squirrel attacks on patrons of Central Park. I'm here to get the squirrel side of the story. I have come here with a bag of acorns to try and get them to open up to me. Now, I have a squirrel. I've named him Chippy. I don't know his name. He won't give it, so we'll let him be anonymous. Chippy, what is it true that you and your cohorts are attacking people jogging in Central Park? Don't look at me with those beady eyes, you bastard. You're evil. I'm simply trying to get your side of the story for journalistic ethics. Damn it, Greg, stop it! You will stay right here and watch me as I try and interview these demented creatures! I hate my job!
All right, well, folks, we are going to take a break and then we will be back after these messages. All right, welcome back to the Woke Report. I am Ethan Chadwick, and with me, as always, is Evan Hall. And right now, we are going to have an exclusive interview on live broadcast with the creators of the website, is Hillary Clinton a reptilian.com. Am I saying that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Is Hillary Clinton a reptilian.com?
All right, and as a way of introduction, with us today, we have Dr. Spoons McGee and Dr. Forks Malone. And I have to ask, are those nicknames or are those your given names?
This research is the product of at least several days of intense testing, thanks for our funding from University College, to look into whether the Democratic nominee is, in fact, a reptilian life form.
And let's not just pretend like it's gonna be okay just because she wasn't elected. I mean, she's still out there. If she's a reptilian, people need to know. And if you want to find out about the website, go to it right now, and we will show you all the evidence that says she may be, and also that she may not be. There's evidence on both sides, and we're giving you the whole scoop.
We have polls, we have graphs and pie charts in color this time, and just this variety of incontrovertible evidence that Hillary Clinton indeed is one of the many reptilian life forms currently inhabiting the bodies of world leaders.
So you're just not going to answer the question about the names?
The thing is, you look at video evidence, and you see reptilian eyelids on many of our national leaders. This is clearly a problem. And thanks to, like I said, funding from University College to fund our research, we spent the good amount of about a weekend. And we've established a clear link between these reptilian life forms currently inhabiting the bodies of world leaders and a New World Order government set to come out, which we've detailed clearly in IsHillaryClintonARReptilian.com.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of references to thoughts from our own journals and every kind of thought that we have ever thought. We've put that in a blog, and we're just ready to share it with all of you.
I do have a question for you, Forks and Spoons. Forks and Spoons.
That's Dr. Forks and Dr. Spoons. Are you kidding me right now? Very unprofessional.
My apologies, Drs. Forks and Spoons. Is that a family name?
And so if you look at our website, you will see, as we've mentioned, there's detailed lists of different reptilian leaders across the free and not free world, whatever not free means. But the thing about it is, you've got these different reptilians. They're totally taking over. I mean, look at Tiny Tom Cruise. The man is clearly crazy. But the point of what I'm going with is that glaciers are made of ice.
Yeah, as my colleague was explaining with the reptilian life forms that are taking over the New World Government, this is information that the rest of the academic community simply refuses to listen to. They are blind. They are being paid off by the large corporations and possibly a Hillary Clinton super PAC. But we here at IsHillaryClintonARReptilian.com have stated our case very forcefully. And so we are very grateful that at least somebody in the media is giving us a shake.
Yeah, I mean, like, nobody is listening to us. It's almost as if they think that we're crazy or something. And I tell you, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. Shut up. Shut up. This voice in my head needs to just shut up. I'm trying to get through this thought. And I've got to say, Hillary Clinton may or may not be a reptilian. There's evidence that she is. There's also evidence that she isn't. But I'm going to point this out to you. Her name is Hillary. That is one of the most common reptilian names that have been taken by people with the name Hillary. It's the most common name taken by reptilians who have taken the name Hillary.
But, doctors, I mean, this is all well and good. But we're talking about a premise of Hillary Clinton possibly being a reptilian. Forks and Spoons, are you serious? Is that really your name?
Are you seriously not going to use doctor? Are you really not going to use it? Because I went to 4 weeks of a summer camp to get that distinction, and you're just going to ignore it? You're going to throw it out the window?
Yes,
my name is Dr. Forks Malone, but you're not respecting the doctor part, and I just don't know that I can take this anymore. I'm leaving.
I would have to agree with my colleague. We are distinguished professors at University College, home of the Fighting Eagles, and we have spent days putting together this incontrovertible proof of reptilian life forms taking over the government. And it's just unprofessional that you keep dwelling on our supposed names. Just accept it. Just accept it. We're just as American as you and me. We just happen to own a website.
I got to jump in here. I think that you guys may have mistaken. You said the Fighting Eagles, but University College's mascot is actually the Fighting Millennials. I mean, I'm trying to look back. I'm getting word from my assistant that it was the Fighting Eagles 200 years ago, but is now the Fighting Millennials. And also, they prefer not to use the fighting part because that would be considered intolerant. Are you saying that the university is secretly condoning violence?
This is absolutely beside the point. This is what we expected out of the lamestream media. This happened exactly when we rolled out with our new study called How Many Donut Holes I Can Fit in My Mouth. We are serious scholars looking to show the real things that are going on in this world, and we are being treated like a bunch of amateurs. It's incomprehensible.
It's disrespectful. I decided to come back to defend myself a little bit, but don't, just because all I eat is Doritos and Mountain Dew does not mean that you can tell me that I don't understand health. Do you just not get that I have a doctor in front of my name? You just focused on Forks? You want to know I'm called Forks? Because I'm not going to tell you, because that is not your concern. Beside the point, I just can't even right now. And I just don't want to do.
Well, we are out of time for this interview. We want to thank you guys for coming on. We're going to go to another break, and we will be back just after these messages, folks. All right, welcome back to the Boca Report. Right now, we are going to go to another of our field journalists. We're going to go to Doug McDougalls, who is actually on the scene in the afterlife. He's our afterlife correspondent, and he actually has an exclusive interview with America's favorite gorilla. Doug? Yeah, thanks. This is Doug here. I am here in the afterlife, as you mentioned, and I am going to be interviewing Harambe. And with me is the man himself, I mean the gorilla himself. I apologize, Mr. Harambe. But the American people kind of had a bit of a problem after you were executed. Do you want to kind of take us through the moments before your death and kind of what you were thinking as you were dragging the child around and what all transpired from your point of view? Because we've gotten the point of view of all the cameras and the people that worked there and all the bystanders, but we never really got your story. And so that's why I'm here today, to get your story. And so can you kind of take us through that?
Absolutely. Might I just start off by saying thank you so much for having me. Well, let's go back to the scene of the crime. This place was my home. It was my domain to roam around as freely as I wanted to. I was a happy gorilla in Cincinnati, pleasing my audience. And then this boy falls in. And what I was trying to do was protect this young lad from being hurt. And everyone's looking at me like I'm doing something wrong. And I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it looked like you were putting the child's life in danger, and maybe they did feel justified in putting you down, but kind of, what was your mindset, first of all, when you saw the kid? I guess we'll just go with that for now. What was your mindset when you saw the child fall into your home, if you will?
Well, at first I was concerned about the child's physical safety, but my second thought was, where the bloody hell is his mother? She just allowed her child to walk into a pit full of gorillas.
Well, I believe it was fell into the pit of...
Fell, walked, whatever. Gorillas. It was clearly a case of parental neglect, making my killing completely unjustified. I wasn't dragging the child. Well, maybe I was dragging the child, but that's beside the point. I was trying to protect the child.
Yeah, I mean, you were dragging the child through some water, and you got to understand, you are a lot more powerful than this small child. What was your kind of your goal in dragging that child?
Well, when it comes to the water, I was trying to clean him off. He had just taken a nasty tumble, and I was simply trying to get some of the dirt off him. Besides, children love a good swim. I was clearly not being violent in any way, and I maintain my innocence. It is absolutely ridiculous, these allegations against me. What in the bloody hell do zookeepers know anyway?
Okay, so I mean, I can't really speak to whether you were guilty or not. I mean, that's not my role here. I'm just trying to get your side of the story. And while we're here, I do want to ask, you know, because after you were shot and killed, because of the incident. Afterwards, you know, thousands of memes were made about you, and everyone has talked about taking their dicks out for you. How do you feel about all that attention and kind of the movement that was created in the wake of your death?
Well, aside from the slight discomfort at the thought of people and their dicks for me, it's important to keep this issue alive. I mean, we have thousands of zoo creatures every day who risk dying simply because some neglectful parent lets their child tumble down into a gorilla pit. It's important to keep the conversation going, and perhaps
get some reforms put in. But if I could just go back for a moment, I am still very uncomfortable, even though I'm dead, with the idea of people pulling their dicks out for me.
And why is that? I mean, for me personally, I would feel honored if, after my death, people would say, you know, dicks out for Doug McDougals. And, you know, my friends actually call me Steve, so they would probably say dicks out for Steve. But the point of the issue is I would be honored by it. Why does it offend, or at least why is it uncomfortable for you?
Well, I must say I was honored at first, but after your 3,000th dick pic, it gets a little bit old.
That's your reason? That just because it's old? The thing itself doesn't bother you?
Look, you're getting away from the main point, which is the fact that my death was completely avoidable, and that neglectful woman who led a child into a gorilla pit ought to be prosecuted.
I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong about that. I'm not saying one way or the other whether you were guilty or you weren't. Just merely trying to get your side of the story, and don't think I'm opposing you. Also, don't think I'm necessarily going with you. My job as a journalist is to take the story and to twist it as much as I can for my own goals.
Well, that's all well and good. But, you know, the final laugh is on them, because I'm now in the afterlife enjoying it, kicking it with my friends, and enjoying gorilla paradise with all the bananas you can eat. So the last laugh is on that ridiculous child and its mother and the zookeeper and all the rest.
Oh, I do have to ask, though. I mean, there have been rumors on Earth that you were actually the guest referee in a fight between Kimbo Slice and Muhammad Ali in the afterlife. Can you confirm or deny that did in fact happen?
That did in fact happen, and Kimbo Slice went down in about 8 seconds.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for your time, Mr. Harambe.
Thank you.
And as always, you know, I am Doug Steve McDougals, and I'll send it back to the studio there to Ethan and Evan. Thank you, Patrick. So, Evan, I just kind of want to talk about this a little bit with you. It's kind of an interesting take. When I was excited when we got the exclusive interview with Mr. Harambe, as he's elected to be called. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting to get his perspective on it.
Yes, he is an icon of our times. Still a lot of debate. A lot of debate about whether Harambe deserved to die and whether charges should have been given to the mother of that child.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the debate will be ongoing forever because I don't know that there's a clear answer either way. You know, personally, I like to eat cereal, and for me, that kind of brings me a bit of solace whenever I'm faced with the decision of choosing between my two favorite ice cream flavors. And so, getting off track just a little bit, I do want to mention we do have another story, this one also coming out of Florida. Turns out that a Florida man was found in possession of a crocodile gun.
Crocodile gun?
Yes, that's what the report is telling me. It's not one you can carry on your hand, but he hooked it up onto his truck, and he puts a bunch of crocodiles, which doesn't make a lot of sense because they're mostly, you know, gators down there, alligators. Anyway, he's got this contraption built up on his truck and he has a bunch of crocodiles just chilling in the bed of his truck, and then this go on and it launches them at his enemies. And, you know, to me, I mean, that's American ingenuity in a nutshell.
Well, that is terrifying. I think I will be having night tremors again.
Well, luckily we're based here in Utah, so we don't really have to worry about it so much because he's obviously down in Florida. But I do have to point out that the American people are really good at coming up with strange shit.
Yes, my dad never said he loved me.
Yes, and with that, we will take another break before the last segment of our show. We will be right back after these messages. All right, welcome back here to the Woke Report. This is Ethan Chadwick once again. Right now, we're going to go to another one of our field correspondents, Piccolo Tubison, who is interviewing a young child whose, quote, father can beat up your father. Sorry, I quoted that wrong. Whose dad can beat up your dad, quote unquote. Piccolo?
Hi, I'm here with a child who says his daddy can beat up your daddy.
Yeah, my dad could totally beat up your dad.
What makes you say that?
Because my dad is the strongest man in the world. He could beat up anybody's dad, and that's what makes me so cool.
Do you even have any proof for this?
Obviously. My dad is my dad, and so obviously he's the strongest.
And what have the other children at your school said in reply to this idea that you could, your daddy could beat up their daddy?
Is that dillhole Steve? He sucks. Steve sucks, man. His dad sucks, too. My dad could totally beat up his dad.
Well, I'm also here talking with Steve, who is going to give his side of the story.
His daddy can't beat up my daddy because it's just not true, and it's... It's just stupid. It really is stupid.
Oh, you're just mad because my dad could totally beat up your dad.
No, he can't.
You are such a little baby. Why don't you go suck a dick, you little prick?
Whoa! Why don't we all come down here? This is journalism. This is not a freak show.
Shut up. My dad could beat you up so good.
That is beside the point. We're going to send him back into the studio before something really bad happens.
No, you wait. I'm giving my story, and you can't take that away from me. My dad's going to beat you up right now.
No. Ow!
Hey, you!
Oh, no, you!
All right, we are going to cut away from there. Want to apologize for the language of that child. Apparently, his parents don't love him.
Shocking to say the least.
Absolutely.
I was appalled. Where is America going when children can talk like that?
I mean,
to adults.
Right? I mean, there's a complete lack of respect, which, absolutely. I mean, maybe was warranted. I mean, Piccolo was kind of a big douche, but the thing of it is,
kids didn't talk like that when Bush was president. So, thanks Obama.
And Trump, too. I mean, like, Trump's coming in. I mean, it's got to be on both of them, right?
That woman took everything from me. I didn't even want that divorce.
Moving on. We want to go back to our last field correspondent of the day, Sandy McSanderson, who is actually out in the sand dunes. And he's going to give us an update of kind of the weekend fun. Yeah, it is actually December. There's no one out here. It's sandy and it's coarse and it's rough and it gets everywhere.
Have you made any sandcastles yet?
Oh, I've made several sandcastles in the sand. I feel almost as if I should sing a song about it. But I feel like it'd be ripping off of Robin Sparkles. That being said, I have made... No, I haven't made any sandcastles. I'm useless. All right, well, thank you, Sandy McSanderson. We want to thank you all for tuning in to the show today. It was a good one. And be ready to come back next week for our update then. If you want to share your story and become a field correspondent for the Woke Report, you can find us on Twitter at Woke Report. You can also email us wokereport@gmail.com. Just send us your resume and your stories, and we'll see if we can squeeze you in here. If you'd like to come in and champion your cause here on the Woke Report, we are more than happy to have you do that. And I do want to thank you guys for tuning in.
Yes. Sydney, come back. I'm lonely. Shit.
I think Evan needs to just just calm down there a little bit. But want to thank you guys for tuning in once again, and want to wish you a great night, and stay woke.